for 3 years. His doctor had simply told him to stop eating red meat and drinking wine to lower his uric acid levels. This without even asking Eric what he was eating in the first place. Did you know most doctors are required to take only 23 total hours of nutrition training during 12 years of education and preparation to practice medicine? When we went over Eric's food habits and I checked his lab results, it was clear that the real culprit for his gout was the sour candy he ate all the time. Candy laden with high fructose corn syrup. Eric hasn't had a gout attack in the 4 years he's been on the Fab Four program. Diets also reinforce people's belief that they are not in control of their bodies. If a diet comes with a good food list and a bad food list, then it's setting you up to think, okay, I can eat this, but not that. If I stick to only these foods, restriction, I will lose weight. If I eat anything from the bad list, shame, and the diet won't work. This mental cycle fuels food obsession, which is the opposite of food freedom and is doomed to fail you eventually, not the other way around. And even if a food is on the good or approved list, this doesn't mean it will set you up for success. It might even buy you a ticket on the blood sugar roller coaster. On a biological level, a grain-free donut, acai bowl, and steel-cut oatmeal can all cause a disturbance or imbalance in blood sugar. Although they may contain superfoods, those superfoods are still carbohydrates that are digested into glucose and spike your blood sugar. Your body doesn't like these aggressive spikes and works to restore blood sugar balance with insulin. Insulin is a hormone made in your pancreas that ferries glucose out of your bloodstream, thereby lowering your blood sugar, and stores it in your liver, your muscles, and finally your fat cells. As more insulin circulates in your bloodstream, more calories are stored. The problem is that as blood sugar leaves the bloodstream, you start to feel really hungry again. You reach for a snack, and then your fat burning shuts down. This doesn't mean you can never have these foods, or that they are bad. But knowing they'll cause a spike crash cycle with your blood sugar will empower you to be aware of what you're eating, learn to prepare, and know what to do to break the cycle. In short, most diets out there don't teach us how to eat enough to keep our bodies in blood sugar balance and feel sated. That is, satisfied and content, so we don't feel hungry for hours. After all, isn't that the point of food? The good news is, the minute you understand blood sugar, macronutrient metabolism, and the hormonal reactions involved, you can set yourself free. You can make a choice to eat that donut and then know how to stop the spike crash cycle. The science of macronutrients also explains why your perfectly planned, packed, and calorie-calculated day has you starving, cranky, and gaining weight. A focus on calories leads you down the path to weight gain, which can also cause type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and sometimes fatty liver disease. If you overdo carbohydrate-rich foods, restrict calories, or don't eat enough of a full range of foods, you can experience large fluctuations in blood sugar. Crashes and dips happen when your pancreas overdoes it, and insulin transfers too much sugar out of the bloodstream and into the cells. Oops! Large variations in blood sugar paired with excess insulin leave you feeling hungry, weak, shaky, lightheaded, and anxious. Been there? Maybe it's because you started your day with cereal or were juicing. Or maybe you just grabbed a protein bar or a non-fat latte because you were traveling and didn't have a chance. Whatever the reason, the result is you begin to crash, craving sugar and carbohydrates. Buyer beware. Side note. Stop paying for expensive meal delivery programs based on calories. Not only do these programs set you up to stay calorie obsessed, but they also undermine your confidence that you have control over your body, your weight, and the foods you put in your mouth. What's worse? They solidify the habit to eat every few hours without understanding the hormonal consequences. I understand the need for convenience, but I promise Fab Four recipes are simple, fast, and made with real macronutrient-dense foods that will help you lose weight and make you full. These cravings don't come out of nowhere. They're predictable. When your blood sugar starts to drop, you're hardwired to eat. Hormonal hunger happens when your blood sugar starts to drop, even when it's in the normal range, and can have you reaching for another snack as early as 90 minutes after your last meal. In fact, your hormones make you think of carbohydrates, which are high glycemic, because they typically guarantee quick energy and represent the fastest way to get more glucose into your system. When your body thinks it may be starving, your brain purposefully suggests you eat foods that provide a short-term fix. We need candy, sugary granola bars, bread, despite the long-term health and weight consequences. The problem with this short-term fix is that it starts the blood sugar roller coaster all over again. Ever have one of those days when you take 5 laps to see what's in the fridge over and over again? Welcome to a very addictive and frustrating loop. Spike in blood sugar. Surge of insulin. Dip in blood sugar. Insatiable carb craving. Crazy addict in search of a candy bowl. And up you go again. And in the process, your body shuts down its fat-burning mode and stores more fat. This is the cycle that begins, for example, if you have carbs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What does this teach us about how and why people gain weight, lose weight, and pack it on again? That when our bodies don't get the nutrition they need, they try to work around the problem with hormones. And these workarounds cause cravings, binges, more fat storage, and an insatiable hunger. As human beings, we're driven to feel satiated. We're driven to eat food for our survival. And our bodies are designed to be healthy and function optimally when they receive a mix of essential macronutrients. The Fab Four, fibrous and green carbohydrates for energy and good bacteria proliferation, protein for cell and tissue growth, and fat for brain functioning, hormone production, and immune protection. When the body doesn't get sufficient amounts of these food sources, or the foods come in a form that has been modified by chemicals or is low in nutrients, the body adjusts in a number of negative ways, most of which lead to weight gain and inflammation. Without the clean, nutrient-dense forms of these macronutrients, the body can't break down food completely. So it stores it as fat and makes you feel hungry, no matter how much you eat. Ultimately, the body might turn on itself and develop diseases such as atherosclerosis, diabetes, and cancer. You might not be worried about these medical conditions now, but this same cycle of eating foods that your body can't break down also affects how you look and feel now. Dry or oily skin? Stubborn muffin top? Thinning hair? Puffy red eyes? All signs that your body might not be getting the nutrition it needs. Hashtag Fab4 to the rescue. We've been told by many a diet book that we should eat every 3 to 4 hours. But why? Well, on average, your blood sugar rises when you eat and starts to fall 3 hours later. But this advice doesn't take into account what you ate, how much you ate, the time of day, where your blood sugar started, your current blood sugar level, or your insulin and cortisol levels. And what about glucagon, the hormone that releases stored blood sugar? Glucagon is a fat-burning hormone that raises your blood sugar by converting glycerol in your fat cells to glucose for fuel, lowers the production of LDL, bad cholesterol, and lets your body release excess fluid. Why would we have such a hormone if we were never going to use it? Digestion is work for our bodies. It takes a lot of time and energy to break down food into molecules that we can absorb and utilize. When we eat too frequently, we're taxing our body, filling it with excess insulin, and asking it to restart a process it has not yet completed. Not only does this weigh us down in terms of energy depletion, but also in pounds. When our body cannot absorb and utilize food, it stores it as, you guessed it, fat. But when you begin your day with a Fab4 smoothie or a Fab4 breakfast from this book, you give yourself the opportunity to start and stay in a tight and balanced blood sugar state. Then, when you follow this with 2 other nutrient-rich meals, you can elongate your blood sugar curve into a normal range. The result? You don't get cravings and you lose weight. You're also reteaching your body how to feel full and satisfied, so that between your meals, you're actually burning fat and losing weight instead of impatiently waiting for your next snack. Ditch diets forever. One of the biggest truths I've discovered is that the body is an amazing feat of nature. It is designed to work, be healthy, and protect itself from disease and the environment. It's also driven towards satiety and to find its optimal weight. When the body is given whole, clean food sources, it will work in perfect harmony, naturally falling into homeostasis and balance. It will feel nourished and content, and as a result, arrive at the optimal weight for that individual. In this way, the body is simple. Here's how. Chapter 2. You've got to start somewhere. So why not start with the knowledge that will help set you free? This chapter is a short but immensely powerful primer on nutrition and biology that will lay down that red carpet towards your own amazing future. If you really want to be free from diets forever, you need to understand blood sugar and some basic nutritional biology. From there, it's all light structure, the hashtag BeWellFab4, and the Fab4 smoothie. But first, picture this weekend scenario. You sit down at a healthy brunch spot with your friends. You look at the menu and want everything. It all sounds healthy. Kale Eggs Benedict, a veggie omelet, savory paleo breakfast meats, 7-grain vegan pancakes, acai bowls with homemade granola, even gluten-free sweets. Plus, it's the weekend and you're with your friends. A fun drink sounds, well, fun. How do you decide what to eat and drink? Let's say you went with a 7-grain vegan pancake, a side of fruit, and a mimosa. Oh, and a bite or two, okay, three, of that giant gluten-free sticky bun one of your girlfriends orders for the table. Because cheers to the freaking weekend, right? Well, this combination of ingredients, non-fibrous carbohydrates, sugar, and minimal protein and fat, will put you on a blood sugar roller coaster. It doesn't matter if it's vegan, gluten-free, or hipster approved. You'll spike your blood sugar so high that the only place you can go after a few hours is crashing down. The result is that you'll start craving more sugar and non-fibrous carbohydrates. Why? Because you're hardwired to eat, and your hormones tell you to eat food that will raise your blood sugar as quickly as possible. By 4 p.m., you may be curled up in your pajamas, watching Netflix, ready to order a pizza for an early dinner, make a bag of popcorn, or take down a bag of cookies. But the reality and good news is that you're not physically hungry. You're hormonally hungry and full of insulin. Back to that delicious brunch. Let's say you went with the veggie omelet, added avocado, or heck, even bacon, and a side of spinach or salad, and went with a vodka soda with a squeeze of lemon. This combination of ingredients, protein, egg and bacon, fat, avocado, and fibrous carbohydrates, spinach, veggies, will make you feel full and satisfied, and you won't crave more food in 2 or 3 hours. Why? Because it won't dramatically spike your blood sugar outside a normal range, which means you won't experience a corresponding dramatic crash. Your hunger hormones stay under control. This meal will elongate your blood sugar curve. Fat and fiber help to do that, and should keep you happy for 4 to 6 hours, depending on your unique body chemistry. Hey, and you had a few sips of fun, too. These two scenarios show how your body reacts to create blood sugar, one of our primary sources of energy. In essence, your body metabolizes and absorbs food by breaking down different food groups, macronutrients, into usable forms for cells to function. This is what we think of as digestion. For me, when I went back to where I began, understanding the basics about digestion and blood sugar, I had completed my quest. I understood how to lose weight, how to eat for wellness and maintenance, and, best of all, how to stop my cravings and preoccupation with food. If you know what your body needs and what will balance and elongate, not spike and crash your blood sugar curve, you will have the keys to the Fab4 kingdom and a recipe for food freedom. Biology 101. If you were to break your body into its components, it would look something like this. 64% water, 19% protein, muscles, 16% fat, 4% minerals such as calcium and phosphorus in your bones and iron in your blood, and 1% carbohydrates, mostly glucose in your bloodstream or glycogen, stored glucose in your liver or muscles. Your body is constantly breaking down old oxidized cells and synthesizing new ones. In fact, in your lifetime, you will synthesize somewhere between 550 and 950 pounds of protein. So yes, you really are reinventing yourself daily. But how? And with what? The how is two metabolic processes known as catabolism, to break down and release energy, and anabolism, to build and consume energy. And the what is what you eat, the nutrients in the food and liquids you consume. There are macronutrients, carbohydrates, proteins, and fat, micronutrients, vitamins and minerals, phytonutrients, antioxidants, and water. Let's start with the macronutrients. The majority of your food is made up of macronutrients. Very few foods contain just one macronutrient. Meat is made up of both protein and fat. Vegetables are fiber-rich carbohydrates that can also contain protein. Even chia seeds contain protein, fat, and fiber. But more often than not, if a food contains a single macronutrient, it's been extracted. For example, coconut oil, avocado oil, and olive oil are all 100% fat. But the whole foods, the avocado, coconut, or olive, contains a mixture of carbohydrates, proteins, water, and other micro or phytonutrients. For the sake of simplicity, however, I will categorize foods by their predominant macronutrient. The three macronutrients, carbohydrates, protein, and fat, have different nutritional functions, and each is used and breaks down differently in your metabolic processes. Carbohydrates break down into glucose, or blood sugar, a type of sugar that gives our cells energy. There are two general types of carbohydrates, both of which are plant-based. One, simple carbohydrates, which are easily broken down into glucose, and two, complex carbohydrates, which are wrapped in fiber and more difficult to break down. Simple carbohydrates come in many different forms, but think sugar when you think simple. Table sugar, corn syrup, honey, jams and jellies, soda and candy. Some of these simple sugars can be found in raw, sugar cane, honey, and even fruit, but many are processed one way or another. Of note, the sugar fructose is metabolized differently, which we will discuss in a little bit. Complex carbohydrates come in a much wider variety of foods. Green vegetables, fruit, whole grains, including oatmeal, pasta, and whole grain breads, rice, wheat, seeds and nuts, starchy vegetables such as potatoes, corn and squash, and beans, lentils, and peas. Proteins break down into amino acids, which enable our muscles and tissues to build and stay strong. However, our bodies produce only 13 out of the 22 amino acids that make up proteins. The 9 amino acids our bodies cannot manufacture are known as essential, and we need to get them from plant or animal-based sources. For instance, fish, beef, pork, chicken, and eggs are all examples of complete animal-based proteins. Complete plant-based proteins include quinoa, buckwheat, not a grain, and chickpeas. And here's that vegetarian caveat. Plant proteins in their natural form are mostly carbohydrates. To get 8 grams of protein from quinoa, you need to process roughly 40 grams of carbohydrates. To get 20 grams of protein from chickpeas, you need to process roughly 60 grams of carbohydrates. Spoiler alert, that affects your blood sugar. Later, I will help you strategize about how to make sure you have the right amount of protein for you. Fats break down into various types of fatty acids, which enable hormone production and cell development and growth. Our main sources of good fats are avocados, fatty fish, such as salmon, trout, mackerel, sardines, and herring, olive oil, coconut and coconut oil, nuts and chia seeds, not to mention dark chocolate. Soon we'll dive a little deeper into fats, including the different types, their sources, and how the body and brain use them. We'll also discuss the essential fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6. You'll see how important fat is to feeling good and being well. On top of these macronutrients, your body also needs micronutrients, vitamins and minerals, and phytonutrients, antioxidants. Our bodies process these from the macronutrients we eat. But if the carbohydrates, proteins, and fats we're eating are not of high quality, they're processed, industrially raised, overcooked, or sullied by chemicals. Then it's important to rely on supplements to make sure your brain and body get sufficient amounts. Water is also vital to our very survival and ensures the proper balance of fluid, both inside and outside our cells. It assists with nervous system, temperature regulation, muscle functioning, nutrient transport, and proper excretion of waste from the body to avoid toxicity. Not listening? Dehydration will age you! So how is all this nutrient stuff going to help you ditch diets forever? When you eat clean, nutrient-dense forms of macronutrients, the Fab Four, you will keep your blood sugar in balance and feel sated, naturally turning off your hunger hormones and stopping the spike, crash, crave cycle before it starts. Remember that USDA food pyramid we've been seeing for the past umpteen years? Not only is it inaccurate in terms of the best sources of our macronutrients, but its arrangement is asking for diabetes. The new USDA MyPlate attempts to help us map out our meals. But where's the fat? Why are we still recommending grains and dairy at every single meal? Even the new healthy eating plate from Harvard suggests 3 carbohydrates in one sitting. In other words, a triple spike, recommending fruits, grains, and dairy at every meal, and again, leaving out fat. These rankings don't get the macronutrients quite right. They overprescribe the wrong forms of carbohydrates and underprescribe the good types of fats. My formula, the Fab Four, is different and effective because it looks at macronutrients from the perspective of balancing your blood sugar and decreasing inflammation. This is how I'd like you to think of food groups and the essential nutrients we need to eat. Most nutritionists and doctors will very quickly tell you that carbohydrates are the primary source of fuel for the human body, particularly for neurologic functions and physical exercise. But let's be clear. There isn't an essential carbohydrate. Think of it this way. In terms of fuel, your body is like a Toyota Prius, which can run on gasoline or battery power. Likewise, your body can run on glucose produced from carbohydrates you eat, or fat-based fuel called ketones. Your body can even produce glucose from non-carbohydrate sources through a process called gluconeogenesis. So carbohydrates are not your body's only source of energy. Further, my approach shifts away from low-nutrient forms of carbohydrates, such as grains, pasta, bread, and potatoes, and towards more nutrient-rich forms, such as colorful, non-starchy vegetables, low-glycemic fruits, beans, nuts, and seeds. These complex carbohydrate sources are the fiber and greens in the Fab Four, and will provide your body with the energy it needs without massively spiking your blood sugar. Ketosis. You might have heard of nutritional ketosis, a state where your body burns only fat for energy, aka battery power mode. Nutritional ketosis has attracted a lot of interest, and for good reason. It's being used therapeutically to lower epileptic seizures, starve cancer, and improve recovery from traumatic brain injury. Nutritional ketosis, not diabetic ketoacidosis, provides muscle-sparing fat loss and is showing to be neuroprotective. What's the catch? It's a difficult state to maintain without a strict diet, exogenous ketones, and the constant monitoring of blood or urine. In my practice, I use it periodically to improve metabolic markers, but don't recommend it long-term for two reasons. One, carbohydrates help produce the mucus that protects our intestines and promotes gut health. Two, colorful carbohydrate foods like beets, carrots, and squash contain vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients. Nutrients I don't want my clients avoiding to stay in ketosis. Now let's turn to fats, an important macronutrient for the body. They break down into various types of fatty acids, which enable hormone production and cell development and growth, and are also critical for blood sugar balance. Yet they're often not emphasized enough. Fats come in three basic forms: triglycerides, phospholipids, and sterols. We rely most on triglycerides. Some triglycerides are good and necessary. They make up 60% of our brain and protect our heart. But others can interfere with our health by causing inflammation, clogged arteries, and high blood pressure. On the good side, there are monounsaturated fats from olive oil, avocados, and nuts. Long-chain polyunsaturated omega-3 fats from algae and fish and other seafood. And saturated fats from coconut, red palm oil, and pasture-raised animals and eggs. As for the bad fats, these are trans-unsaturated fats, trans fats, and man-made industrial seed oils, such as canola, sunflower, safflower, cottonseed, grapeseed, corn, soybean, and vegetable oil. These processed oils contain excessive amounts of omega-6, which can cause inflammation. Tip: if the label reads partially hydrogenated, steer clear. The body is capable of producing all the fatty acids it needs, except for two. They're essential, because we need to get them from our food. The first is linoleic acid, an inflammatory omega-6. Now, just because LA is inflammatory doesn't mean it's bad for you. For instance, when you bump your knee and it swells, that's LA supporting the inflammatory phase of wound healing, sending nutrients and blood flow to the area. So don't believe the hype that omega-6 from organic, whole foods like eggs, nuts, seeds, and grass-finished meats are an issue. Those foods are great sources of essential omega-6 fats that provide B vitamins like choline and folic acid, tocopherols, polyphenols, magnesium, fiber, and amino acids. The second essential fatty acid is alpha-linolenic acid, an anti-inflammatory omega-3. At the risk of getting a little too technical, our body uses ALA to make two long-chain omega-3 fatty acids: eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, DHA. These are the fish oil fats, and you can get what you need from algae or the seafood that eats algae, like fish and shellfish. But our body isn't very good at producing EPA and DHA. In fact, only 5% of ALA gets converted to EPA. And less than 1% of ALA is converted to DHA. But though we get omega-3 ALA from flax, chia, and walnuts, it's not the only kind your body needs, or one that can be efficiently synthesized into EPA or DHA. The good news is that chickens are great at synthesizing ALA and converting it into EPA and DHA. So you can opt for pasture-raised chickens and eggs, which contain 5 times as much omega-3 than conventional eggs. I consider EPA and DHA essential as well. Why? First, the anti-inflammatory benefits of omega-3 fats, such as reduction in heart disease and bad triglycerides, improved cognitive function and fetal development, improved immunological response, and lower levels of depression are all linked to EPA and DHA. Second, the human body needs about a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 to perform optimally and stay balanced. However, most Americans have an inflammatory ratio of about 15-to-1, with 20% having no detectable level of omega-3. EPA and DHA are omega-3s that can help improve the ratio. Before you douse yourself in fish oil, let's take a minute to understand why our ratios are so high. Have you ever seen sunflower, safflower, cottonseed, grapeseed, corn, or soybean oils on an ingredient label? These oils seem to be in everything and are almost exclusively omega-6, and not the good kind. Industrial seed oils are often oxidized because of the chemical processes used to extract them or heated above their smoke point. When the body gets too much of these unhealthy seed oils or hydrogenated oils, trans fats, our ratios become unbalanced, and this results in chronic inflammation that can lead to disease. The bottom line is that most of us don't get enough of the good fats that give us the building blocks for hormone production. Why not? Because most people believe erroneously that dietary fat makes you fat. Not true. The majority of fat being stored in your body starts as a carbohydrate, which leads us back to, you guessed it, blood sugar. So let's take a closer look at how your body breaks down carbohydrates. Tracking carbohydrates. As with any other food, the process begins in your mouth and stomach, where enzymes and hydrochloric acid go to work. Carbohydrates are metabolized, broken down, into glucose or blood sugar. Glucose can be used by the brain without the help of insulin. However, all the remaining glucose must be managed by the hormone insulin, which is produced by your pancreas. Insulin is a storage hormone that allows glucose to move from the bloodstream into your cells. It's up to insulin to keep an appropriate amount of glucose circulating in your bloodstream. The so-called normal range of blood sugar is between 70 milligrams per deciliter and 120 milligrams per deciliter, and deliver appropriate amounts to your cells for energy. Imagine insulin as a cargo ship with customs paperwork that is sent out by the pancreas to pick up glucose from your bloodstream and deliver it to a specific port of call. The three ports of call for glucose are the liver cells, muscle cells, and fat cells. Depending on the port, the pancreas might be required to submit more or less paperwork, more or less insulin, to enter. Further, when the insulin gets to a port, it signals for the cell to accept the glucose it's transporting. 1. Small amounts of insulin are used by the liver to process and store glucose as glycogen. The liver can store between 250 and 500 calories of glucose before it fills up. 2. Your muscles require large amounts of insulin to process and store glucose, but they can store between 800 and 2,000 calories in your body as a whole before they fill up. Once glucose deboards and stores as glycogen, the only way to make room for more insulin in your muscles is for you to move or work out. In other words, you gotta burn it. If you are moving, you are constantly making room for visitors and keeping slips at the port open for the next insulin glucose shipment. This is called keeping your insulin sensitivity strong and explains why athletes and very active people can typically eat more carbohydrates. Their muscles are constantly burning glucose and making room for more to be stored as energy in their muscle cells. When you aren't moving or working out, your muscles don't have any slips open. Your insulin sensitivity weakens, and it will take more insulin just to get even a fraction more glucose into any open slips. Further, when insulin levels are continually high in response to a diet that is made up of a high proportion of starchy and simple carbohydrates, muscle cells can become resistant to the signal insulin sends for them to accept glucose, which is known as insulin resistance. If your cells resist the signal, the glucose doesn't get unloaded and stays in your bloodstream, resulting in high blood sugar levels. 3. Finally, whatever excess glucose is not used by the brain, liver, and muscles is converted into free fatty acids and then stored in fat cells as triglycerides. You can see the issue here. When glucose stops being fuel, it starts being converted into fat. Despite what you constantly read in articles and diet books, managing blood sugar is not achieved by eating 5 to 6 small meals a day. Blood sugar balance is managed with proper nutrition, various hormones, including adrenal and thyroid hormones, and stress management. As you will come to learn, the Fab Four provide your body with the right nutrition to stay balanced instead of signaling your adrenals or thyroid gland to step in and help. I promise to talk about fructose, a carbohydrate found in fruit and honey. Fructose is metabolized differently from other carbohydrates, and it turns into fat more quickly. Broken down 100% in the liver, fructose becomes glycerol, a sugar alcohol, which then converts free fatty acids into fat. For reference, only 80% of alcohol and 20% of glucose is metabolized in the liver. So what does this mean for you? Basically, the more fructose you consume, the more fat you store. In addition, as part of the metabolic process, fructose replaces liver glycogen, which serves as energy storage. When you juice, you're excessively replacing liver glycogen, building up way more fructose than you need. All the excess will be stored as, you guessed it, fat. The metabolism of fructose also results in waste products and toxins that can drive up blood pressure and lead to conditions such as gout. What's more, fructose undergoes a chemical reaction that can result in liver inflammation, just like alcohol. Long-term, excess fructose consumption causes high cholesterol, insulin resistance, and fat buildup in the liver and abdomen, called lipogenesis, that has been linked to metabolic syndrome and obesity. So do I eat fruit? Yes, but I keep it to a single serving daily. It's not an every meal thing. When we get to chapter 6 and 8, you'll get more info on how and when to enjoy fruit and wine. With this understanding of how carbohydrates are metabolized, you can see why the forms of carbohydrates you eat are so important for blood sugar balance. Blood sugar imbalance. Next, let's review the types of blood sugar imbalance. Hyperglycemia, high blood sugar, can be caused by a few different things. One is excess carbohydrates. Another is an inability to properly store blood sugar and respond to the signal insulin sends to muscle cells to accept glucose, which is called insulin resistance. In turn, insulin resistance is a metabolic risk factor for metabolic syndrome, or chronic, long-term, and constantly recurring hyperglycemia. Further, the stress hormone cortisol can also contribute to hyperglycemia. Elevated cortisol levels can cause an increase in blood sugar by releasing stored proteins from muscles and converting it into blood sugar in the liver, gluconeogenesis. Cortisol also inhibits insulin production, which can prevent glucose from being available for immediate use. Cortisol isn't released just because of stress at work or in our personal lives. It's also produced in high amounts when our bodies are under different forms of biological stress, such as inflammation, infection, allergies, and poor sleep. All of these physical conditions can contribute to elevated cortisol and a hyperglycemic state. Hypoglycemia, or reactive hypoglycemia, is a low blood sugar, defined as blood sugar that drops below fasting levels within 4 hours of eating. Reactive hypoglycemia can be caused by a number of factors, including excess insulin, insufficient response to glucagon, the hormone that releases stored sugar, insufficient cortisol response, or low thyroid function. Thyroid hormones are responsible for the output of insulin by the pancreas in response to blood sugar, the absorption of glucose by cells, GLUT4, and clearance of insulin from the blood. Dysglycemia is an abnormal roller coaster ride of both high and low blood sugar, characterized by steep spikes of high blood sugar followed by reactive crashes into low blood sugar. It can be caused by any of the mechanisms cited previously. Okay. So that's the technical jargon. How will you actually feel when your blood sugar is imbalanced? Like you're on a roller coaster. When you have too much glucose in your bloodstream, you will feel sleepy, store excess sugar as new fat, and even crave sugar right after a meal. In fact, recent data is showing that the minute you start to crash, you begin to feel hungry. When you have too little glucose in your system, you feel starved, weak, shaky, lightheaded, and anxious. If your meals are not balanced with the right amount of protein, fat, fiber, and greens, you're setting yourself up to take a ride. But if you're eating clean proteins and good fats alongside fiber-rich carbohydrates, then you're more likely to keep yourself in a good blood sugar range. Your body will release less insulin, you'll avoid drastic glucose responses, and you'll feel in balance. Let's take a closer look at the ups and downs with the help of a chart that you'll find on the enhanced portion of this audiobook. The ups and downs of blood sugar. As you can see, if you start your day with a high-carbohydrate meal, such as cereal, toast, pancakes, or a fruit-heavy smoothie, or even oatmeal, you set off a crazy up-and-down blood sugar cycle for the rest of the day. Your blood sugar will spike above normal and then crash, sometimes well below 80 milligrams per deciliter. Dips and crashes come with strong, difficult-to-control cravings for more carbohydrates. Remember, you're hardwired to eat, and your hormones will make you seek out carbohydrates because they're the fastest way to get more glucose into your system. You'll be hormonally inclined to reach for a cookie, piece of chocolate, energy bar, or giant latte. In turn, your blood sugar will spike again, maybe even way over normal, to 125, 140, or even as high as 180 milligrams per deciliter. And here we go again. This is what happens in the bodies of most people who don't balance their meals from a macronutrient level. They become slaves to their blood sugar. Eating meals balanced with the Fab Four elongates your curve and keeps blood sugar in a normal range. It sets you free. Okay, so let's say you don't quite go so heavy with the carbohydrates first thing in the morning. When a lot of my clients first come to me, they describe their first meal of the day as something like a non-fat latte and a Kind bar. But this breakfast lacks adequate protein, fat, and fiber to keep your blood sugar stable for 4 to 6 hours until lunch. You'll experience spikes from the lactose sugar in non-fat milk and honey and glucose syrup, sugar and sugar, in the Kind bar. But then it's 10:45 a.m., maybe 10:30, and you start to feel hungry. Real hungry. You might reach for a snack. An apple, vanilla yogurt, even another protein bar. Sugar, sugar, sugar. Or you might pour a coffee, hunker down in a deprivation mindset, and try and hold out until lunch. In the meantime, your brain is screaming for carbohydrates. In either case, when lunch finally rolls around, your body will want to binge, either on a carb-laden meal or by simply overeating. Coming soon, that post-lunch could fall asleep at your desk food coma. Willpower lasts only so long. Your biology will always win. So you will always be a slave to your blood sugar unless you learn to manage and control it. Excessive blood sugar spikes make us sleepy, and then subsequent crashes make us crave. There's no way to sustain a pattern like this, nor would you want to. Balanced eating is everything. Balance sets you free. Here's another thing about the blood sugar curve. See how the up and down cycle is happening on average every 3 hours? When you eat non-fibrous, carbohydrate-rich meals without enough protein, fat, and fiber, your blood sugar spikes and you get hungrier, sooner, and faster. Perhaps in even as little as 2 hours, in response to your inevitable blood sugar dip. Again, how many diets do you know that recommend eating every 3 hours? If you don't know, it's a lot. And it's not good for you. These diets are simply following and reacting to this spike-crash-crave cycle, which they often cause to begin with. They recommend frequent eating because they have to. They have to answer an earlier call for more blood sugar because the foods they prescribe are not optimally balanced on a macronutrient level. I've tried these diets, and usually I feel out of sorts in one form or another all day. Either my blood sugar is too low, too high, or ping-ponging back and forth. My approach doesn't just follow and react. It anticipates, manages, and elongates your blood sugar curve. It tightens your fluctuations, sustains meals in your body, minimizes excess insulin, allows the hormone glucagon to do its job, release stored blood sugar, and naturally turns off your hunger hormones. Look, having glucose in your body isn't all bad. The glucose stored in your liver and muscles, glycogen, is fuel for your brain, organs, and muscles. But your need for glucose has everything to do with your activity levels. The problem is relying on carbohydrates as your main source of food. They will trigger the spike, crash, crave cycle, especially if you sit most of the day and don't work out regularly. Think back to the brunch scenario at the beginning of this chapter. If you went for the vegan pancake, side of fruit, mimosa, and bites of a sticky bun, you would have been starting a metabolic process with virtually all carbohydrates, which we've seen are easily broken down into glucose. The result? The spike, crash, crave chart that you'll find on the enhanced portion of this audiobook. If, however, you opted for the omelet with avocado and bacon, side of spinach or salad, and a vodka soda, your blood sugar would start in balance, and you're more likely to stay in balance. Your blood sugar will float gently between 70 milligrams per deciliter and 120 milligrams per deciliter without triggering cravings or out-of-control hunger. This is the gentle roll that keeps you feeling energetic but not frenetic, calm but not sedated. This is that sweet spot of being active and alert but not anxious. Hunger versus appetite. We're driven to eat by hunger, a psychological impulse hardwired into our brains and bodies. Hunger is regulated in the brain by the hypothalamus, which signals when the body is satiated, satisfied or full, and when it needs more food to reach that state. When we consume foods that are a healthy balance of the hashtag BeWellFab4, our brains tell our bodies that we are sated, and we stop eating. Our bodies then begin the multi-hour process of digestion and absorption. If these food sources are clean and nutrient-dense, without added ingredients that the body doesn't need, our bodies naturally use up the energy supplied by the food through our daily physical and mental activities and sleep. However, if we consume addictive foods that are high in sugar or simple carbohydrates, or we eat too much of only one macronutrient, or we have trouble digesting or absorbing the macronutrient from a food source, then our brain signals to our body that it is still hungry and we are driven to eat more food. We end up eating more food than our bodies and brains need. This is the point at which most diets decide to fix the problem. They try to convince people that if they restrict or cut down on the number of calories, then they won't put their bodies in a position of storing unneeded calories. But the trouble is, simply cutting calories doesn't stop the brain from telling the body that it's hungry, which is why diets always make us feel hungry. If you've just finished a 3-course meal and find yourself still hungry for a slice of decadent, gooey chocolate cake, it's not really hunger you're experiencing. It's dopamine-driven appetite. The definition of appetite refers to more of an emotional longing or yearning to eat particular foods, which triggers the release of this reward hormone in the brain. Appetite can be aroused when environmental cues or habits stimulate our senses and make us feel happy. Think of your appetite as a psychological mechanism that drives you to seek pleasurable experiences, eating being one of them. It's very common for people to experience appetite even when they're not at all physically hungry. We've all been through sad, stressful, emotional moments when junk or comfort food makes us feel better. We've also been through times of joy, relaxation, and celebration when we treat ourselves. Either way, it's not the end of the world, and no reason to beat yourself up with guilt, anxiety, or self-shame. You can easily smooth out any spikes in your blood sugar curve with the very next Fab Four meal. Excess insulin. Remember when I mentioned that insulin acts like a cargo ship? It picks up glucose, blood sugar, and transfers it from your bloodstream into your cells so that your nervous system, muscles, and other tissues and organs can use it for proper functioning. Once the insulin has done its job, it lingers in your bloodstream for 6 to 8 hours. In the meantime, it stops the body's fat burning process. It's a storage hormone after all. If you eat unbalanced meals with processed foods, your blood sugar quickly rises and falls within 3 hours, leaving your blood low in sugar and still full of insulin. You crave and are driven to eat more carbohydrates, releasing even more insulin. This cycle of nonstop eating is known as the insulin trap, in which your body is driven to eat constantly and thus constantly produce insulin. It can also result in insulin resistance, a precursor to metabolic syndrome, chronic high blood sugar. The Fab Four helps you get out of the trap. The foods on my program limit free-floating insulin in the first place by lowering the strength and number of blood sugar spikes. It shifts the carbohydrate focus, which means less glucose. And because the Fab Four are designed to elongate your blood sugar curve through other macronutrients, they do so without you feeling hungry. If instead of processed pizza, you enjoyed roasted chicken lettuce wraps with pesto slaw and avocado, your insulin spike would be moderate and your meal would keep you satisfied for between 4 to 6 hours, depending on your unique body chemistry. Your blood sugar curve would be more of a gentle roll and less of a crashing overhead wave. When your insulin and blood sugar curve track each other and decrease together, your glycogen and adrenal hormones can bring blood sugar back up gently instead of being thrown into overdrive. Excess insulin can cause a host of issues, including 1. Increased inflammation, insulin resistance, and metabolic syndrome. 2. Increased androgens, increased testosterone in women, and increased estrogen in men, linked to PCOS, infertility, thinning hair, and acne. 3, decrease liver detoxification and increase oxidative stress. 4, higher blood pressure and cholesterol levels. 5, increased fat. Hormones that help bring your blood sugar up. When your blood sugar is low, below the normal range, your pancreas releases another hormone called glucagon. Glucagon acts in the opposite way to insulin. It causes the liver to convert its stored glycogen back into glucose. The glucose then re-enters your bloodstream and is transported to cells for energy. Glucagon also helps break down proteins into their usable form of amino acids, which also helps to produce glucose. This is one of the reasons we don't solely need carbohydrates for glucose production. Our body has alternative ways to release and manufacture the necessary glucose. Muscle wasting. Opposed to that popular belief, this doesn't mean to prevent muscle wasting or protein breakdown, you should eat every 3 hours. That theory was proven wrong by Brad Pilon years ago. Muscle responds to use, stress, and challenge, not meal timing. In fact, studies have gone as low as 800 calories, 80 grams of protein, per day for several weeks without a change in muscle size. Brad uses the example of wearing a cast. Take off the cast, and the muscle has wasted away. Yet the opposite arm is still strong, and the body was fed only one way. Takeaway. Use it, and you won't lose it. At the same time, other hormones are working to increase blood sugar, including epinephrine, norepinephrine, cortisol, and growth hormone. Epinephrine and norepinephrine are secreted by the adrenal glands and nerve endings when blood sugar is low, acting on glycogen stored in the liver. This is why we get a surge of energy when we are in fight or flight mode. Our adrenals also secrete cortisol and growth hormone. Together, they stimulate glucose production from glycogen, so muscles and other organs turn to our stored fat to use for energy. Control of blood sugar through hormones is a healthy and normal response in the body. What isn't normal is the steep up and down roller coaster that comes from eating foods that quickly spike blood sugar 5 to 6 times a day, make you feel out of control, and leave you full of insulin. This cycle throws your hormones into overdrive and stresses those systems. How the Fab Four help regulate hormones. Okay, class is almost over, I promise. But before the bell rings, I want to share an important science-based reason why I created the Fab Four. Have you ever been on a diet and literally fighting yourself not to eat because you're so hungry? It's miserable. We do not do that on my program. One of the most empowering, liberating things about the Fab Four is that together they naturally balance your various hunger-related hormones, and not just for an hour. In the chart on the enhancement, I've summarized how the Fab Four specifically help to regulate your body's hunger-related hormones. This is a condensed, high-level summary of the very intricate way the body strives to keep itself fed and balanced, whether it's given food or not. Normally, these hormones work harmoniously, balance one another, and maintain blood sugar balance, so we never feel too hungry or eat more than is necessary for proper functioning. However, many of today's foods, even the healthy ones, can upset this delicate balance of hormones and disrupt overall blood sugar balance. When your hormones are out of whack, you'll feel out of whack too. In short, we feel best when our blood sugar and hunger-related hormones are balanced. Not too high, not too low, not bonking back and forth in between, and certainly not screaming at us to eat. My approach enables you to eat in this way so that your body hums like a Tesla. By eating a healthy combination of protein, fat, fiber, and greens, you can naturally stabilize blood sugar, burn some fat, and enjoy having consistent energy throughout the day. Class dismissed. Chapter 3. Making blood sugar balance work for you. I've had the good fortune to counsel and coach a lot of different kinds of people. They reach out to me for one of two broad reasons: because something is ailing or bothering them, or because they have a specific goal or lifestyle they want to achieve. Their issues, symptoms, conditions, and challenges cover a very wide swath. But in my experience, many of these problems relate back to blood sugar imbalance, which has a domino effect through the whole body. We've talked about the hormonal imbalances that result in cravings, overeating, and weight gain. But beyond that, blood sugar imbalance will affect your overall health and wellness, and put you at risk for serious health issues that threaten your quality of life. In this chapter, I want to share several client success stories to illustrate why balanced blood sugar is so important. Mary, 44, was a busy, more or less fit mom who came to see me because she wanted to shed 10 pounds. As with many of my clients, we started simple. Just begin each day with a Fab Four smoothie, which is built with the Fab Four. Only 10 days later, Mary looked and felt fantastic. She had dropped the 10 pounds, was excited and confident about her body, and told me she wanted to train for a marathon. Woohoo! 6 months after completing the marathon, Mary called me for an appointment. She had joined a marathon training team and was training hard, but somehow she had gained more than 15 pounds. She was also feeling terrible, drained, moody, apathetic, and was frustrated and confused by it all. I learned that her marathon training team had told her to add lots of high-energy carbohydrates, including sugary gels and energy bars, to her diet. Also, her training schedule was so demanding that she had stopped lifting weights and doing Pilates, which she had always done. I checked Mary's body fat percentage, and it had gone up. I immediately suspected what had happened, so I sent her home with a glucometer to test and track her blood sugar. Sure enough, a week later, we zeroed in on the issue. Mary was fighting chronically high blood sugar and potential insulin resistance. Mary's training diet of high-energy carbohydrates had made her store the excess glucose as fat, causing her insulin levels to be through the roof. The macronutrients she was eating had caused both her weight gain and her negative moods. In addition, her muscle mass had decreased because she was no longer lifting weights or doing Pilates. It took a little time, but by returning Mary's diet to the Fab Four, consistently monitoring her blood sugar, and reintroducing muscle-building exercises to her regimen, we got her back. Back to a weight she was happy with, back to feeling energetic and happy, back to a place of balance. Mary's case isn't unusual. When blood sugar is imbalanced, things can quickly go awry. It's not just extra pounds that get triggered, but potentially insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, two conditions like diabetes that also stem from overproduction of insulin. As you might recall from chapter 2, insulin resistance is when your muscle cells don't respond to the signal from insulin and therefore don't accept glucose. As a result, more glucose stays in your bloodstream, raising your blood sugar. Over time, this can put you at risk for chronic high blood sugar, metabolic syndrome. When people overeat starchy, processed, and simple carbohydrates at every meal without the balancing and slowing presence of fiber from vegetables, the pancreas begins to make too much insulin. Over time, when insulin levels are continually high, two things happen. One, the pancreas gets worn out. Two, cells become resistant to the signal from the insulin. You can think of hormone tolerance like alcohol tolerance. Let's